Hi, gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking a gay person to change and be straight. Hey people, gay people that are listening, Pentecostals, doesn't necessarily matter if you're straight or gay. I'm calling out for a new ministry, as it were, a last days ministry. I'm beginning to expand my website site to cover a world outreach and reach out to people all over the world because there's a need. I get so many pastors from all over the world. Go figure. You see this name up here, Gays for Jesus? That's my screen name. Well, I use the number 4 instead of the word 4 for Gays for Jesus. And by the way, the email address up there is the best way you can communicate with me if you want me to talk back with you. Or you could chat with me in Yahoo Messenger. The phone number there is a comment line. And I do hear your comments. Thank you. But if you really want me to talk back to you, I'm not going to be dialing the phone number and call you back. But I will indeed answer your email and talk to you in chat. Well, over the decades here, I've been seeing so many foreign pastors wanting to chat with me, and again, go figure. The name Gays for Jesus is a remarkable name. When I first started this program back in 1986, the beginning of the year, I didn't know what kind of a name to choose for this program. At that time, the public access station required a very small, short name because they only had so many spaces they could put on the TV monitor. And so I had to come up with some sort of a very short name. And so I came up with Gays for Jesus. And so it seems to be quite the miracle because of what happens between that day and today. What happens is tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands see this name and they come to me. Of course, you know, most of you seem to have this kind of homophobic attitude. My definition of homophobia, as it were, homophobes I use a lot, are not necessarily into the secular point of view of it, but in the Christianity point of view of it, that so many of you just will not go beyond your conditioning when you're talking about gays. You'll just simply say gay is sin, it's in the Bible, God hates it, or quote a verse, and that's as far as you will go. You will never ever take any kind of time to study and then to come back and talk to a gay person and tell them the reason that gay is sin is because look at this particular word that's in this particular verse or this particular phrase. Now I'm going to give you the history of it, and I'm going to show you the original Greek and the original Hebrew of it, and I'm going to show you how this verse was used in Paul's day and in Moses' day and so forth and so on. And you begin to bring the facts about a verse up, why you say the verse has gay in it. Of course, what you're going to find out is it's going to be talking about gang rape. It's going to be talking about straight heterosexual men going to fertility prostitutes. And it's going to be talking about all kinds of stuff, except real live gay people. Because gays, whether in ancient days or today, are basically boy meets boy. They date, they fall in love, and they get married. Now, that scenario has a little bit of some sort of modification in different kinds of cultures and places and so forth, just like marriages. Marriage, heterosexual marriage, is an evolution. Because you start at the beginning and you go today and you have all manner of kinds of getting married heterosexually, and they sure don't apply for today. We would think it's the greatest of sins to do any of the things that were apparently completely God-acceptable in past days. People, there's a different situation today. Who cares about, in a way, gays or straight? What is should be really important is this is different. People, this is different. Jesus is going to return. And there's 6 billion plus people in the world. And there's countries out there that hardly any Christians at all. It might have changed a little, but you know, I was stationed in Thailand for a whole year. And I was an atheist at the time, but the statistics at that time were there were 1% Christians there. In fact, one of the friends I had over there when we was downtown, we walked by this little cubbyhole. It's kind of wooden. You'd have to see it to understand. There's certainly no way that they look like any of our buildings today. They're just wood slats put up and so forth. But he told me, this is a Christian church. He assumed I was Christian, you know. And it would be too difficult to try to explain in another language that, no, I'm an atheist. But anyway, so there was 1% Christian in the nation of Thailand. Doesn't that bother you? Now, I'm Pentecostal. I haven't really dealt a lot about this Pentecostalism very much. I have 34 years in the Assembly of Gods. I'm still a member, you know. I never stopped my membership. Became a member in Southern California back in the beginning. And, hey, generally speaking, you know, I was trying to work up a statement of faith for my new reconstruction of my website, and there was a reason I went to the Assembly of God, so I clicked their statement of faith up and read through that, and hey, I still hold every one of those kinds of things, beliefs and everything, and then you push on the little buttons to expand it to go by their backup of verses and everything, and basically, it's pretty much I hold that beliefs that Assembly of God has on paper of their statement of faith. Now, the problem I saw with Assembly of God is because Assembly of God used to be all King James Version. Now, in their statement of faith, when you go into the details, they've got King James Version and NIV Version, so you could click on the version you want to view the verses that back up their statement of faith. Well, New International Version, people, is Satan counterfeit Bible. And I've talked about over and over and over again on air here. There is absolutely no chance that you're going to get a modern version Bible to be the Word of God. They are deceitful counterfeits to condition you for the last days. So later on, there's going to be a group of deceptions that is coming on that's going to be a partner to the new modern version Bibles so that you will believe that man over there is Jesus after all. Antichrist. The church is going to support Antichrist. The secular world is not strong enough to get Antichrist into power. They need the help of the church. And by the time the church figures are all out, it's kind of too late. Because Antichrist definitely has no love for the church. He just wants you to worship him. People, God does move. In Moses' day, he parted the seas. He had the pillar of fire, the pillar of smoke. The 10 plagues that came down. We read in Revelations that the 2 witnesses are going to do this, but a little bit differently, because they're going to do it anytime they wish, and they don't have to get necessarily permission from God. They don't have to, suddenly, God says, now go say this. They just ask whatever they want. They say it. So you better hope that you don't get on their nerve, because, you know, they're people too, and if you get on their nerve, they might just zap you. Of course, it's a little bit more complex than that. And 2 witnesses aren't the 2 witnesses for nothing. God spent all their lifetime working with them so that, because he trusts them to do the ministry that he sent them forth to do. And the ministry they are set forth to do is going to bring miracles like crazy. There's going to be the good kinds of miracles, we might want to say, but all miracles are basically good, even the ones that's going to shake you up, and maybe a lot of you are going to get killed in the process. And it's good maybe because it's going to divide you all up and get out the bad ones that just don't like God after all when they get to know the facts about God. And then the good ones. There's going to be the plagues. And these are miracles from God. Now we're living in this kind of time that is just before this going to happen. People, we're going to live in 1260 days of the tribulation. I don't care what you think your pastor's telling you or what you think you believe. The Bible is not supportive of a pre-tribulation rapture. This is a process that developed in the 1830s by a woman named Margaret, an occultist, and Darby later on in the 1840s or something enhanced this to the point where it became a generally universal idea in Christianity that Christians will not take part in any day of the tribulation. They will be gone out of it. This is not the Bible. The Bible says that there are specifically 1260 days to spank the living daylights out of you because you just believe too many kinds of things that just shouldn't be. And I tell you, people, going to heaven is not a Sunday picnic. If you should die in your faith, guess what? You happen to have died believing that Jesus is the Christ. You know, John 3:16, whosoever. And you have these kinds of processes inside yourself at the moment that you die, that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And that he died for your sins and all that kind of stuff. So it matters not all your filth that you have when you die of false doctrines, cultural errors, all kinds of filth. Because you are, Christians, we're all filthy. There's not a day that goes by that we don't sin. When we accept Jesus, symbolically we're washed in the blood because God, when he looks at us, he sees the symbol of the blood of Christ, as it were, on us, and so he doesn't see our sins. We're still filthy. When Jesus died on the cross, our sins, we're still here. We're still here. They didn't go away. They just aren't seen. But when you go to heaven, this has to be clean. So when you die, a phenomena happens in the death gate. You know, John said, death, where's your victory? Where's your sting? That kind of thing. That's because we have victory over death. When we go through death gate, death is going to scrub us with the blood of Jesus. And we will survive because of the promise that whosoever believes. But guess what? We're alive now. Jesus is about to return. Things are going to happen while we're alive. And there are going to be people alive. That's what the rapture is about. They're going to pluck you off the earth. And you'll be changed and given your spiritual body. And so while you're alive, you have that ability to choose. And in previous times, there weren't the great deceptions that are going to be and are starting to be today. You have something a little bit different than anybody else. The first days Christian has an awesome task. They were the first ones. They're the ones that turned the world upside down. But the world can't be upside down. The upside down not right. People, can't you figure that out? The world's got to be turned right side up. And so, the last day before Jesus comes back, the world is being turned right side up. If you can grasp some of the things I'm saying, you're halfway there. It's a different time. You had the in-between the first day's Christians and the midday Christians, and now the last day Christians. If you think that you can go to church and listen to your pastor that went to seminary and colleges and so forth, and now they come in there and they're a pastor, and every day they're going on, and they don't care if they use a new, a modern version or the King James Version. They have no concept of why. They say, well, if it suits my sermon to use this version or that version or the other version. And they have no concept of anything. They're a pastor. Shouldn't they know why they're using a version of the Bible? Shouldn't you be able to ask them, who is Westcott and Hort? Shouldn't they be able to answer you? Since these people are so extremely significant in Bible. Did you know that? Paramountly, extraordinarily significant. They're the ones that got modern versions in your hand. Back in the 1980s. 1880s. There's a lot of difference about today. God's going to start doing this move stuff again. He hasn't done this really good or obvious move stuff for a long time. It was the church age. The church got to decide what's sin and what's not sin. The church got to decide an awful lot of things. The church had got to rule and so forth. It was the church age. Miracles happened, but not any, I'm God saying, this is how it is. It don't matter what you think. And this is how it is. Now it's going to come back to that where God's going to say, you know, this is the time. It's going to be. You don't think the church can change overnight or in a short period of time? They will. Are you going to want to be a part of the last days ministries? Maybe there's something about Seattle. There was prophecy that I had heard back in, I believe that it was the early 1980s. I went to the Assembly of God Church, and there's this one pastor that had started the church here in Seattle, and his reason for it is because he had talked to some ministers from Russia or something, and the prophecy in Russia, and they never heard of Seattle, was that Seattle was going to be the place where the outflow of the last days ministry of the great revival and all other things. This is something significant about Seattle. And this is the prophecy going on in Russia back in the 1980s, and this is why this one pastor started his Assembly of God Church here in Seattle. And I really liked the guy. He was pretty good. I attended that church for quite a little while. And so, maybe Russia had a correct prophecy. Maybe not. But I know a lot of you are on fire for Christ and you wonder what you can do. Guess what, people? You can do something. I don't know for sure how. But guess what, people? You can do something. I got an email address there. Got a website there. It has a ways that you can go. You go to my website, and you can start looking at what I'm starting to develop. You can put your input into it because, you know, we haven't had particularly a last days ministry as such. A lot of people call themselves last days, but they're just their last days idea of preaching is being more emotional and passionate about what the mid-era age Christian, you know, the mid-Christians period was, you know, just more passionate of the same things that were mid-Christian. And this is not last days. The same message is being spouted by the same people. And in previous program, I had mentioned, because I had just watched God's Warriors on CNN, and they had done an extraordinary amount of interviewing of various religions, and the last episode was on Christians. And it was kind of interesting because it summarized, and also because I know and watch all kinds of stuff and know and whenever you see in the news anywhere, the voice of Christianity regarding sin is basically two sins. When you listen to preachers or representative of Christians, in and that get to be spoken in the news media. When, you know, a news person goes to you, if you're a Christian and the news people come around, you ought to have an idea of what you're going to say beforehand, because they're going to want you to say things they want you to say, as it were, and you might be a fool and say something and fall right in their trap, even though you might have said 100 other things. They'll pick out the thing you didn't want them to put on the air. And this is what the media does. They seem to be able to be attracted to the thing that you didn't really want the world to hear you say. And after you said a lot of good things. Well, your presentation, pastors and ministers that get on TV, is two things. Gay is sin, and abortion is sin. Now, I'm not really concerned about, are they sin or not? Well, I could tell you, gay is not sin. And abortion, you know, I get into that at sometimes. But the thing is, these should not be on the tip of Christians' tongues. This is a different time, people. If you things are on the tip of your tongue and you're going out to minister, and this is a common feature of your ministry, is to invoke the various sins, then you are going to have to get judged by your sins. And you will be judged because you are judging others. This is the day that you're going to be able to be judged for the way that you judge. And if you're judging another, you're saying something's sin, and you haven't done your homework, and you can't bring back the original language and the meanings and the culture of the times and the usage of what Paul said and did and Moses and so forth and all, and current day life when you're presenting a topic on something, and if you don't, this world is so full of information and facts that are not disputable, if you cannot bring that in, then the Bible is not just a verse or two, it's a big book, covers a lot of things, and if you're going to give a message and you're saying something that another part of the Bible is saying that, yes, this stuff is okay, then you've got a wrong type of message for the last days. Come join me. Come to my website and get involved. Ask questions. Send me an email. If you have a message, a testimony, I want to hear it. I want to put it online on my website. I want to develop this website to a world outreach. In foreign countries, there's pastors that tell me they can gather together as many as 10,000 people in 4 days. If I was to go to this other country, they would be ready in 4 days to hear me to preach to 10,000 people. And this is in this one particular country. Over the last 10 years, I would say I've gotten about 20 or 30 such offers of pastors begging me, even though they see Gays for Jesus, to come over there, and they think God's going to do a big revival. There's some pastors over there that have been praying for a decade for me to come over there. And finally, I think I've gotten an idea of a way to present this type of an outreach online as a start to a world ministry, and I'd like you to be part of you. I know there's a lot of people that are listening. I know a lot of you are Pentecostals. There's Pentecostal gays out there, straight people that want to get involved. God's about to move. Come join me. Help me figure out how we can reach people in these kind of days, because everybody today is just locked up secretly, and we can't see the ministry of Jesus Christ very well. Let's bring forth this new move of God. If you don't know Jesus right now, turn to Him and say, Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. I believe God rose You on the third day. A simple prayer gets you saved. Now read the King James Bible and ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. See you next week.